Django Django mit Found You auf Flux FM, ein Auszug aus der neuen Platte Born Under Saturn, die hier in Deutschland im Mai erschienen ist. Heute Abend spielen die Herrschaften, die in Edinburgh zusammen studierten, im Postbahnhof. Jetzt sind zwei von vieren bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über fast kurzfilmartige Stücke auf der neuen Platte. Wir finden heraus, wie man auf derartige Stories kommt und sprechen auch über Hochkultur- und Theaterproduktionen, die vielleicht die Band über Wasser hielten in den letzten Jahren. Wir sprechen aber auch über den Mut oder gar die neue Liebe zum Refrain. Zunächst aber heißt es jetzt und hier nochmal Hello and welcome Jimmy Dixon and Tommy Grace.
Hey,
how you doing?
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag, wie geht's?
Ja, nicht schlecht.
Sprichst du Deutsch oder was?
No.
Yes, you do. That's like a cool thing to just like say two or three sentences and I'm like, no, I don't.
Run out of the room after that.
So how are you doing? Where are you coming from today?
Good, yeah, we had a show in Munich last night, so we were on the bus last night getting from Munich to Berlin, woke up a couple of hours ago, yeah, just down at the venue.
Yeah?
Yep.
Cool, and you've already unpacked the van, or is that happening right now?
Yeah, someone's unpacking it.
Luckily,
you're obviously not.
Yeah.
We've got a crew these days, so we sort of duck out of the responsibility of shifting all our gear about, which is a good thing because we just found out that we've got seven.
We probably shouldn't tell.
We've got a lot of gear
on the back of the van. Yeah.
No, but I like the fact as well that your project has grown. Right, you don't have to care about every little single detail yourself. Yeah. You got a crew on tour with you. You've had some engineers with you in the studio this time. Yeah. You didn't have to put every mic into the right position, which takes hours sometimes.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's tiring to mic up a drum set.
Someone else instead takes hours to put the mics in different positions.
Yeah, and it's really. I mean, that must be a relief because you can basically concentrate on the music again
and not on the
production side.
Yeah.
I've read that you all were working on that album more collaboratively.
Yeah.
So the whole group, the whole band was involved. How important was that to push the boundaries and to get the results that we listen to right now?
Well, I mean, the first album was it was just Dave and Vinny to begin with. You know, it was just them making demos on their own. And then subsequently me and Jim joined the band. And so like towards the end of writing the first album, we were all, you know, writing together. But at the start, it was only two of us. So it just kind of makes sense just to keep on working like that with all four of us all contributing, all writing, Dave still producing and seems to work, you know.
Yeah. Is there something like a modus operandi or a method of operation when it comes to working with Django Django? Because I mean, you guys studied together at art school in Edinburgh, so I mean, there must be one or two teachers who kind of like inspired you or who told you how to approach things.
It's never been so much about the tutors. It's always been more of a sort of peer group thing. I think when we left college, we did lots of things together. We ran a gallery with me and Dave did with some other friends and stuff. And it's always been, and you when you were in Glasgow, the amount of stuff that you were doing with mates and starting bands. And I don't know, I think maybe it's more.
I guess you just kind of learn how to do stuff yourself, you know. Certainly I did in Glasgow. It was a real like DIY mentality in Glasgow. I guess a lot of art schools are the same, and I guess that's probably the way we approach making music as well. And I guess like this second album, like you were saying, you know, we had like an engineer who was helping us set stuff up, but in the end we actually ended up reverting back to a lot of the methods that
we used the 50 pound microphone
because it sounds too good.
No, I really love that. Because I thought maybe because as an art student you have a different perspective on things and maybe you look at the problem of making music differently than a musician who goes like, I have to find some chords, I have to find some words. You'd be probably like, oh, because I read about those storyboards. You guys probably are thinking, no, we have to find a story maybe.
Well, it certainly helps with I think we used it a lot when it came to writing lyrics because we sort of wrote lyrics or we write lyrics sort of collaboratively. It's not really like one of us comes with a sort of emotional song about their ex-girlfriend, you know, and it's more like we'll work on a song and then maybe suggest something like, well, I can imagine it being like a sort of Western, like a cowboy Western, maybe like a revenge sort of story or something. Yeah. And it's just, as soon as you mention specific films or books, it allows everyone else to get in the same mindset. So we're all sort of on the same page, so to speak. And then also, not only lyrics, but also there's a mood to certain films, and it may be that mood that it's good to sort of tap into so that everyone sort of gets it. Do you know what I mean?
It's not the direct approach that you're looking for. I mean, there could be songs about your feeling towards your ex-girlfriend, but it wouldn't be like, I hate my ex-girlfriend now, but it would be a story about a guy who had killed his ex-girlfriend, you know, at night in the pub, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. Now, before we talk too much, let's listen to another song. Let's listen to a song that's actually been written with the help of a storyboard and that has a story in it. This is Jungle Jungle with High Noon. Jungle Jungle mit High Moon, ein Auszug aus der neuen Platte Born on the Saturn, die heute Abend nochmal vorgestellt wird im Postbahnhof. Jimmy Dixon und Tommy Grace von der Band sind noch bei mir im Studio. David und Vincent sind schon vorgefahren und laden das Zeug ins Venue hinein. We just listened to High Noon and one realizes that you have more choruses on that record. There's more pop moments on that record. I want to know what were the reasons to fear the great chorus on album number one, and how did you learn to love those big choruses, those hook lines for the second album?
I think the first record, every time it got to the part where there should be a chorus, we just froze and we were like, okay, let's just put a drum break.
And verse again.
every time we ducked out of it. So I think, this time around we were all kind of, well, let's really look at choruses. And I guess we were like really focusing on the songwriting and structures and stuff like that. We were listening to a lot of like 70s songwriters and I guess that was one of the only things really we took into the second album before we started anything was, okay, we're gonna try and push on the songwriting and and look for choruses and
it's an interesting approach because I think I've read that I think Dave or someone from the band was like, when you write a song for that new album, try it on an acoustic guitar, you know, the classic way to check out a song. If it works on an acoustic guitar with your voice only, everything's fine with it. It's got to be on the record.
Yeah, it's a good sort of like acid test or something, isn't it?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It should work.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah, and when I imagine Default to be played on an acoustic guitar with nothing but the voice, it's like, I would miss the groove.
I would
love the song again as soon as the whole band comes in, you know?
So that's a difference, actually, to record
number one.
No, I think totally. We kind of like recorded, on the first album, we were literally writing and recording directly into the computer, and then we'd literally... then try and work it afterwards, right? What does it need now?
Yeah.
Whereas we definitely spent way more time just... certainly me, Vinny and Jim just writing stuff and playing on guitar or on the piano or something and just getting it right first.
A well-prepared band.
That's right.
Has an efficient studio
time. That's the first
time
we've heard
that, right?
I must say.
Yeah, but there's efficiency in the studio then.
There wasn't efficiency. No? There's no efficiency with German in the band. There's no efficiency.
There's lots of coffee breaks and toilet breaks and,
bumbling about in our dressing gowns and stuff.
We've mentioned that you guys have worked for the Royal Shakespeare Company. You do write film scores. Dave was in Mali with Damon Albarn and the African Express. Mm-hmm. So I think one can take away the last part. That's not too important for my question. But how important is working for the Shakespeare Company and write film scores for the survival of a band in 2015?
I don't know. But certainly it helps. It helped us when we were writing the album in that it just... Because you can get a bit bogged down in writing the album songs and then to get a bit of distance and to get... a new perspective on things when you're writing for different projects just sort of freshens you up, and then you can come back into the studio and sort of with a sort of new energy. But I don't know how important it is for bands, but certainly it's something that we're really interested in. We really enjoy, certainly film scores is something that we're really passionate about anyway. And
yeah,
it's kind of amazing. Like, I mean, we doing the the title track to Slow West, just having like a starting point, you know, and a couple of little directions, it's amazing how like how much easier it is then to kick on and write, you know, like just out of that, just sitting at the studio.
So sometimes it helps to have a director with you in the studio who goes like, this is the movie, this is music for my movie, and I want it to be with an electric guitar.
Yeah, totally. Cool. And I guess it's just, having something visual as well. You know, I had like the last scene of the film, you know, it was like, okay, you can imagine where you are. And just having those little things, it's amazing how your creativity can, you know, go off on a tangent.
Yeah, and I think it's not too bad to do things like that for the money part, right? Because, I mean, you won't sell records to get millionaires anymore.
I mean,
I don't know about the money.
We were chatting,
not the best people to ask.
Yeah. I was chatting to a girl called Polly from Munich who plays in a band called Polyester.
We play them.
She does a lot of stuff for like theater and you know, she's like, that's how she, you know, makes her money. And
all the cooler German old school bands like the Goldenen Zitronen or the punks, you know, from way back when, they're all working at the theater right now, making their money
You've got to do it. I mean, there's no money in album sales and stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, I want to wish you the best of luck for Film Scores, for working with theater, for working with Damon Albarn, and for the near future, obviously. And let me give away some tickets for tonight's show real quick. Wer heute Abend zu Django Django möchte in den Postbahnhof, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Wir haben Tickets hier zu liegen, die wir verlosen dürfen. Django Django heute im Postbahnhof. The telephone's already ringing. People want to come. So, thank you for visiting. Say hi to the others. And I hope I'll see you again pretty soon.
Cool.
Maybe maybe you'll come again in springtime 2016 or something.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And as soon as you've recorded some new stuff, maybe for your own project or for film or the other things, let us know.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Cheers.